following with us, we're going through a mini-series where we're discussing the different types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible. There are 9 different main types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible, and we're going to be covering those this week and next week. That way you have a better understanding of the different types of prayer that are out there. Now, the reason why that's important, as we've said it before, in many cases, the reason... Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the power of praise and thanksgiving. Get ready.
Power off. Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Jesus, holy. You're the holiest anointed one. Jesus, your name is like us. Oh, my. Jesus, no other name like
Bluetooth connected.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called How to Silence the Enemy. Again,
chapter 1. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's a good one, but that's not what I set up. Here's what I see. And that's what I see.
To your door. Chewy.
The ultimate fan experience at Fort Cadillac, Silver Spring. If you're shopping for a new Cadillac or visiting for
service, the reason why people's prayers are not answered is oftentimes because they're not praying in the correct manner. And there's different rules that govern prayer. In other words, there's different prayer for different occasions or different prayer for different situations. Different types of prayer. And today we're covering the prayer of agreement. In yesterday's teaching, we covered the prayer.
Okay, that was last week. Do you think that's it? All right.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're continuing our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer we're covering is the prayer of supplication. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of supplication. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the prayer of supplication. This week and next week, if you've been following with us, we're going through a mini-series where we're discussing the different types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible. There are 9 different main types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible, and we're going to be covering those this week and next week. That way, you have a better understanding of the different types of prayer that are out there. Now, the reason why that's important is we've said it before. In many cases, the reason why people's prayers are not answered is oftentimes because they're not praying in the correct manner. In other words, there are rules or certain rules that govern prayer. And what we're doing this week and next week is we're discussing the different types of prayers that are out there in the Word so that when you encounter a situation or need or desire in your life, you know how to provide or apply the correct type of prayer to your situation. That being said, there's other reasons why people don't get their prayers answered sometimes as well. Sometimes they just simply say a prayer, but they don't put no faith behind it. Other times they say a prayer, but it doesn't line up in accordance with the will of God for their life, so it's not answered either. Other times, I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, that people are praying the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to move on to our next prayer that we're covering, and today's prayer is the prayer of supplication. Now, the first question that comes up when we talk about the prayer of supplication is what exactly is a prayer of supplication, and why do I need to use it? Well, a prayer of supplication is simply this. Sometimes people confuse the prayer of supplication to be a casual request or a casual prayer. I will tell you that there is nothing casual about praying. In fact, sometimes we hear people say that when they're going through a tough situation, all you can do now is pray, or all you can do now is put it in God's hands. I'm going to tell you that you need to get to a place within your mindset that when you need an answer, the first thing you do is take it to the throne. You take it directly to God. In other words, prayer is not the last thing you do. Prayer is not the only thing you can do now. Prayer is the first thing you do. And you take it directly Amen. To the throne by praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, what a prayer of supplication is, is, again, it's not a casual prayer. The prayer of supplication is a humble prayer. It's a humble request that you make unto the Lord. In other words, prayer of supplication deals more with the manner in which you pray rather than the words in which you say or the content that you're presenting before the Lord. And by content, I meaning when you're wordsmithing. Sometimes when people pray, sometimes people have good vocabularies. And so if they have a good vocabulary, when they pray, it may sound more eloquent than yours. But I will tell you, it does not take an eloquent prayer to make a prayer work. What makes the prayer of supplication work is that it deals with the manner in which you prayed. It deals with your condition of your heart. It's a humble request that deals with the manner in which you prayed, and it deals with your heart. I will tell you that if someone does pray around you and they sound very eloquent, they may not necessarily think they sound eloquent. That's just how they speak. That's their vernacular. That's their depository bank in their mind of the vocabulary that they use, and there's nothing wrong with that. But other times when people try to pray and they're being haughty about it, or they're trying to boast on, look how fancy I pray, I will tell you that those prayers don't avail much because they're done in the wrong manner. Like I said, the prayer of supplication is based around, it's a humble request, a humble prayer that deals with the manner in which you pray. I want to go ahead and get right into some scripture and give you some scriptures that back up what the prayer of supplication is, and then we're going to explain how to use and apply it to your life. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 6 through 7. Let's read. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what you will notice is that there's a reoccurring theme to all the different types of prayer we're going to show you. Every type of prayer starts with you asking. It tells us in the book of James that you have not because you ask not. Prayer starts with a form of asking, but prayer must always end with a form of thanksgiving or giving thanks to God. Why? Because when you pray, you're supposed to believe you have already received the answer to what you prayed about. You're supposed to believe you already received that thing you prayed for. And the way you show that is by operating in faith. And the way you illustrate your faith is by presenting true and genuine thanksgiving to God, thanking Him for that answer. And every time that thing pops back up in your mind and you think about it, you simply thank the Lord for it. And if you have to thank Him 100 times within 1 minute, then you thank Him 100 times within 1 minute. Remember, this is called Champion's Minute. If you don't know what that means, my name is Neil. And the meaning of the name Neil is champion. When I first went before the Lord and asked Him what He wanted me to call my broadcast, the Lord told me He wanted us to call our main broadcast Champion's Walk, which meant Neil's Walk. In these short teachings, He wanted me to call it Champion's Minute. And what we're basically discussing is these are things that I have operated and used within my own life. These aren't things I just pull out of a book or pull off of a teaching I hear from someone else. I'm like, that's good. I need to teach that. No. I'm led by the Holy Spirit to teach on things that He's shown us and that we practice. So remember, a prayer of supplication deals with your heart. Now, when it talks about this, other translations also talk about Philippians 4, 6 through 7, that He'll give you the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding, and that peace helps to guard both your heart and your mind. Why? Because that's where doubt tries to fester. Doubt will always try to enter your mind, and by entering your mind, it'll try to worm its way down to your heart. I will tell you that it's possible for a person to doubt with their mind, but not doubt with their heart. But if you don't deal with doubt, that once it enters your mind, eventually it can try to worm its way down into your heart. And when you doubt with your heart, that's when you're doubting God's ability to actually do that thing you prayed for, or it's you doubting that He actually has the ability to perform what His word promised He would perform. When doubt gets in your mind, you need to get it right out. You need to take hold of those thoughts and cast them down. You know, it talks about how you don't let birds roost in your hair. Nor should you let doubt roost in your mind. Let's go ahead and move on to our next scripture. The next scripture I want to read to you is out of Ephesians, and it's going to be 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. sometimes people have a hard time of understanding what the saints mean. If you come from a Catholic background or if you're in the Catholic faith, the saints that you're taught to are the people who live what they would consider by man's standard extraordinary lives of holiness who are recognized by the Catholic Church. Now, it's nothing wrong for the Catholic Church to acknowledge those people. But I will tell you that when we start to exalt any type of person higher than the Lord or on the same level as the Lord, we're almost holding it up as a false idol or deity. So we need to be careful with that. It's okay for us to show honor to saints to people that they believe are saints that have lived extra extraordinary lives, but you must be very careful that you exalt them to be on the same level as Jesus or the Lord, or that you turn around and you hold them in some type of a deity status. Now, that being said, the saints that it's actually talking about in Ephesians, it's actually talking about saints. That's what they refer to as believers. I remember when I first got saved, I used to refer to people sometimes as, man, you know, I'm a saint. And they turn around and get so upset with that. And I can understand why. Because they had in their mindset from a Catholic background what the church held as a saint. And then they saw me, and even though I was saved, they saw my lifestyle I was living, and they said, you are not a saint. That being said, I will tell you that it refers to here praying for all the saints. Saints are considered all the believers. Let's go ahead and move on to our next one. Our next one is out of 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I will tell you that this scripture right here describes what the church is supposed to be doing, but much of the body of Christ is not. Let me go through it. It says that he exalts first of all that supplications, prayer, supplication, humble, earnest request that you're praying on behalf of yourself or another, the humble, earnest prayer of supplication. Also, intercessions. That's when you're praying on behalf of another person. You're interceding for them. And as you grow in the prayer of intercession, sometimes the Lord will lay that down on your heart as a burden. It'll be a heaviness. We'll talk about that at other times. We're going to cover intercession later on in the series. But intercession, sometimes he'll lay a burden on your heart or heaviness. And it might even be for a person you don't even know. The next level it talks about is and giving of thanks, which we're also going to talk about the prayer of thanksgiving, worship, and praise later on as well. But in giving of thanks, be made for all men. All men means all men. That doesn't mean the people that you like only. That means all men. And then it finishes it where it says, because honor to whom honor is due, that talks about for kings and all who are in authority. Guys, if you're praying the prayer of supplication, we've covered how to do it. Again, and just a quick recap, a prayer of supplication deals with you having right standing of the heart. It's not a casual request, but it's a humble request. You don't necessarily have to back it with all kinds of scriptures. You don't have to write it down like a petition or prayer petition like we showed before. It's just simply you going before God, and you're making a humble and earnest request before him. And as you make it to him, you're making the request directly to the Father, so you're praying directly to God, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our intercessor that's at his right hand. No one else is at God's right hand except Jesus, and Jesus is our intercessor. He said when he went to be with the Father, he would turn around and give us the Holy Spirit for comfort, but he was going to the Father to be our intercessor, and he said that anything we ask of the Father in his name would be given to us. Guys, I hope that you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to swing by our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or our Twitter. And when you go on there, connect with us. Like us, share us, subscribe to us, do whatever you need to do. If you're finding these teachings encouraging, there's a good chance the loved ones around you will as well. We invite you to help share this word and partner with us on that so we can get the good word, the good news, out to the lost. Guys, I want to thank you and remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Peace, 5 minutes while I key up the number.
All righty.
I'd like
you
to say, is Sister Camilla on? Did Sister Camilla get on?
I'm telling you, it's taking so long to unmute my phone, but I'm here.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sister Camilla, I was trying to find out if you were on, because I was going to call to you and patch you in, that's all.
Thank you.
What are the three scriptures that he gave? Philippians 4:6-7. And
Ephesians 6:18 and 1 Timothy 2:1-2.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing.
Did you get it?
Connected.
Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Praise God. Again, on your own, you can go to your YouTube and put in Neil Reyes. And you can put a subject, like the types of prayer. You can put that in there, and you'll see them sort of listed, hopefully in order, but sometimes they come up not in order because YouTube is a natural thing that allows spiritual stuff to get on there. So sometimes it's not in the order that we that is presented. Any questions or comments?
Any questions? Anybody need clarity? Any questions at all?
All right. Prayer supplication.
I have a question, Sister Angie. For the part when he said when you pray and then this is how your prayer don't get answered, because that means you don't have strong faith, right?
You have to put a faith to what you say.
Right.
Everyone is given the measure of faith, believe it or not. In Romans 12:3b, we all are given the measure of faith, not a measure. We all are given the same amount of faith. It's just that some use it, some don't. Some use it for a little while. Some use it for a whole long while. It's up to us to put faith, to use our faith.
Right.
And faith without works is dead. Not just say, oh, I got my faith. You got to, faith without works is dead. It's like no faith. You know, so you got to put faith. Faith means after you pray, you're thanking God. You don't keep asking for the same thing. You just thank him for the same. Thank him for what you prayed for. And you thank him and thank him and thank him.
Right. Like I always say, I thank God for my car. I keep saying, I thank him. I thank him. So that makes sense, right?
Yes, but you don't have to have faith for something that you already have.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I get it now. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. How many minutes you got, Pastor Peaches?
Two more.
All right. Anybody else with a question or comment?
So supplication is humbleness of heart and mind.
When you ask, but
right?
The key word is that you got to ask. That's supplication. But you got to do it, not go to your heart and, Lord, you better do this. I got to. No, that's, they talk about come boldly. It don't come disrespectfully. That's God you're talking to. Some folks, you know, they think they're getting stuff, telling God, calling God on the carpet. That's not humility. That's just like talking to someone who has an Uzi in front of you. And you're cursing him out or you're laying him out. And he got a gun on you or he got a cannon pointed at you. You know, with a match, getting ready to blow you away. No, you don't do that. You have reverential fear of God, so you go humbly before him. Mm-hmm. And when you ask, expect to receive. And you thank him. You ask, and it just don't drop it there. That's why I tell folks when we pray, okay, say thank you. Come out of your mouth. Audibly. That initiates spirituality. When you say something with your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, you don't say it out of your mouth, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Any other questions? We got 30 seconds.
Oh, wait a minute. It's up.
All right.
It's 7:30. 5 minutes up.
All right.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of consecration. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the prayer of consecration. Right now, we're in the middle of our series that we're doing on the different types of prayer. We're covering that this week and next week. And we're covering the different types of prayer so that as a believer, you understand how to get your prayers answered. One of the things we've said repeatedly throughout this teaching, throughout this series, I should say, is that many times when believers are not getting their prayers answered, it's because of different reasons. But one of the most common reasons is because they're not praying correctly. The fact is that the Bible outlines to us different types of prayer, and there's different rules that govern prayer. In other words, there's different prayer for different occasions or different prayer for different situations. So sometimes when a believer is not getting their prayers answered, it's just a matter that they're not praying correctly. Now, there are other reasons why people don't get prayers answered as well. One of the things that tells us in the Word is that a prayer must line up in accordance to the will of God, and that if it does, our prayers are answered. But sometimes people think that prayer is not answered because God just doesn't hear them or he doesn't want to answer their prayer. And that's actually not correct. In fact, Jesus has promised us that when he was leaving the apostles, he said, so far you haven't had to ask anything in my name, because he was with them. But he said that when he went to the Father, that if you asked of the Father in his name, nothing would be denied from you. So when we're lined up, when our lives line up in accordance to God's will and our prayers line up in accordance to God's will, anything we boldly bring before the throne of God in the name of Jesus is answered. But we have to have the faith to receive it. I also heard Kenneth Copeland say, and I've said this repeatedly through the series, that sometimes people are doing the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. In other words, they might pray once. Maybe if they're real desperate, they pray, and then they pray, and then they pray. And a couple of weeks go by, they start to slack off a little bit, or I shouldn't say slack off, but their prayer is not as frequent. Couple months go by, it's even less frequent. After a while, they're just not praying much for that thing at all, except for when it occasionally pops in their mind. So sometimes it's because they're not praying. They're praying, but they're not praying enough or doing it consistently enough. Well, today we're going to continue our series, and today we're talking about the prayer of consecration. I want to let you know that this is often referred to as sometimes the prayer of dedication, or sometimes the prayer of consecration and dedication, or dedication and consecration. But it is the prayer of consecration. This has different uses for it, but I want to tell you that this prayer is based around the condition of the heart. Now, in yesterday's teaching, when we talked about the different types of prayer, and we were talking about, you know, the prayer of supplication, and we talked about how that dealt with the condition of the heart as well, that dealt more with the manner of the heart in which you were praying. Today's particular prayer deals with the condition of the heart, not the manner in which you pray, but the condition of the heart. Consecration is the act of separating something as holy. That's what that is. When you consecrate something, you are separating that as holy. So when you're separating that as holy, you're separating it to be used by God. And when you're separating it to be used by God, you're separating it as holy unto him. So when you're praying the prayer of consecration, it's a prayer that focuses around the condition of your heart. In fact, I will tell you that oftentimes when people pray, they'll use the phrase or the term, if it be your will. In other words, they'll say a prayer, and at the very end of it, if it be your will. Well, that's not necessarily the correct way to pray unless you're praying the prayer of consecration. Why? Because when God has told us, for example, if we talk about a prayer, a petition, God's already told us that's a petition we make before him, standing on a promise he's already given us. So you don't take a promise God has given us and then present it back to him and say, if it be your will. That's like saying, I know you said you'd do this, but in case you forgot or you changed your mind, if it be your will. When we're praying a prayer of a petition or agreement, we're presenting the promises of God right back to him. In a prayer of consecration, however, we're setting ourselves apart as holy to him, or setting something apart as holy to him. And when we do that, we can cap that off with, if it be thy will. I want to go right into some different scriptures for you and show you exactly where this is at in the Bible, and then we're going to cover exactly how to do a prayer of consecration. The first scripture I want to take you to is out of the book of Matthew, and this is verse 9 through 10 out of chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Let's read. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. What I will tell you is that this is known as the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. And some people are like, well, why are you going to that? This is the foundational teaching that the Lord gave us. Now, we're not going through the whole entire prayer. We're only taking just the first couple verses. But there's a reason why. In this, Jesus is not telling us to pray the Our Father, as, you know, like in the Catholic religion, that they're saying pray this. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray that. But that's not what Jesus is telling us. What he's doing is he gave us an example. But there's things within this prayer that he's showing us how to present ourselves correctly to the Lord. So let's dissect it. The first thing it says, Our Father who art in heaven. In other words, we're praying to God. That's what he's telling you. You're praying to God. Hallowed be your name. In other words, when you present yourself before God, what he's doing is he's showing you present yourself to God in praise. When you present yourself to God in praise, he's saying that basically as holy is your name. He's praising the Lord. He's bringing praise to the Lord to go ahead and pray before him. I will tell you, I gave a teaching a while back at a school, and when I did at the school I was teaching at, one of the things that I talked about and the Lord had impressed upon me to tell him is that when we pray, we enter into God's presence. But when we get into praise and worship, God enters into our presence. And when you start off by praying, when you praise, God comes into that presence, and then when we pray, we enter fully into his. So prayer is to be started off by praise. Maybe you don't have time for praise and worship music, but you should at least start off your prayer with praise for him. Then it goes on in verse 10 to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there are some things we could really dissect on the on earth as it is in heaven part, but one of the things we've talked about is that the Lord has shown us that we have the power or authority to bind things on earth and on heaven. But your kingdom come, your will be done. When we start off with the prayer of consecration, we're talking about the Lord's will be done. Now, I want to go ahead and take you to another scripture, and this is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's read. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a direct promise from God that when we consecrate ourselves as holy unto him, he has promised to hear our prayers. But there's a couple things we got to do. We have to humble our heart and walk away from the pride. You humble your heart before him. You turn away from your wicked sins. That means if your sins are over here, you turn away and walk completely away from them. You're walking away from your sins. And I glance over your shoulder looking at them. You're walking away from your sins. And if you submit yourself to him, he'll hear our prayers and he'll heal our land. And when he heals our land, that's something that we definitely need right now. But healing our land can be in many different ways. Let's go ahead and continue reading scripture. The next one we have is Psalms 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's go ahead and keep on reading. We're going right into Psalms 139, verses 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, we've talked about some different scriptures, and we've backed up that the prayer of consecration is a prayer that deals with the condition of your heart. What I will also tell you, though, is it's also the condition of whatever you're praying over. So the prayer of consecration or the prayer of dedication can be used to consecrate something as holy unto the Lord, or you can turn around and dedicate something as holy unto the Lord. If there's a prayer you were to begin every day with, this would be that prayer. In other words, when people say, well, I say my morning prayers, this prayer should precede all other prayers. And so if you were to begin your day in prayer, which you should, this is the prayer that you would pray. It's a prayer of consecration. It doesn't have to be elaborate or long, but simply, Father, I dedicate my day to you. I speak your mercies and traveling mercies and goodness over my life, and I dedicate every step I take today to you. And just with that, say, if it be your will, show me where you want me to go, show me what you want me to do. Show me how you want me to witness in Jesus' name. So when you do that, it doesn't have to be exactly like that, but you're doing a prayer of consecration directly to him. And this is something you can do on a daily basis, but you're submitting your will to his. So you're praying, if it be thy will, into your life. Now, if you're praying over something like a home, for example, or you're praying over something you received that was a gift to you and you want to cleanse it before you come in your home, we're not necessarily going into cleansing types of prayer, but cleansing types of prayer are focused around a prayer consecration or a prayer dedication. In fact, sometimes in baptisms and different religions, they'll turn around and use a prayer dedication or prayer consecration because they're setting that child or that person apart as holy unto the Lord. So that's what a prayer of consecration is, or a prayer of dedication. It simply deals with the condition of your heart. Remember, it's not based on the manner in which you pray. That's a prayer of supplication. This deals directly with the condition of your heart. And then you're basically dedicating your will over to him. You're separating yourself from all sin. You're separating yourself from all evil. Does that mean you're not going to sin anymore? I wish it did, but the fact is you'll still make some mistakes, so don't feel pressure. But you're dedicating yourself to him. You're presenting yourself to him as holy. And as you do that, you're saying, Father, I'm intending to live my life in a holy manner for you. And you're segregating yourself unto him. And you're basically saying, you're separating yourself from the world. And you're saying, I dedicate myself as holy unto you. And I'm consecrating myself. Let your will be done in my life. And like I said, you can pray that over objects or things as well to help you out with that. But remember, we take all requests directly to the Father in the name of Jesus. He even showed this again to us in the Lord's Prayer, that we pray to the Father in heaven, and we do it in the name of Jesus. Guys, as always, I hope you enjoyed our teaching today. We want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can connect with all of our teachings. They're available to stream for at no cost 24 hours a day from our website. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on social media, where you can also find our teachings. You can find us on our YouTube page, our Facebook page, or on Twitter. We want to go ahead and remind you to connect with us, and if teachings are meaning something to you, then share them with the people around you, whether that be your coworkers, your family, your friends, people you know, maybe it's even people you go to church with. The fact is, if these teachings are helping you, there's a good chance to help the people that you associate with or the people that are involved in your circles. Guys, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord.
Any questions? Clarity?
Yes, the Bible verses were, one second. One I didn't get was 2 Corinthians 7 and something.
No, 2 Chronicles.
Oh, Chronicles.
7:14. The second scripture that he gave?
Yes.
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Okay. I got Psalms 37:5. And the first one was?
Matthew 6:9-10.
No, yeah, right, I got that. The consecration unto the Lord. You can consecrate. Like baptism, you're consecrating the child, or you can consecrate the item.
Then we're
going to
be continuing
our
series.
Any prayer
recovery?
Right?
Yes.
The prayer of consecration? Yes, the prayer of consecration. You can consecrate an item unto the Lord, or like when you're doing baptism, that's a consecration unto the Lord.
Or you may be ordaining someone or giving someone a license or something. That's a prayer of consecration. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir, it did.
How many minutes do we have left?
No, it's 7:42, 3.
Oh, okay. Any questions? Any comments? Y'all think this is good?
Excellent.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right. Well, if there's no more comments, we can start the next one, okay?
Mm-hmm. In our intro, we're continuing with our series on the types of prayer. We taught on the different types of prayer starting last week, and we'll be completing them this week. And we're covering 9 main types of prayer that are described in the Bible. Today's prayer that we're discovering or talking about is the prayer of thanksgiving, oftentimes referred to as the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Now, the reason why this is such a powerful prayer is that all centers around our free will. The fact is God has created every person with their own free will. And although he desires greater than anything for them to be able to worship him and fellowship with him and have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the fact is he gives us all free will. And where the power of this particular prayer rests is in the free will that he's given man. In other words, when we praise God and we present a prayer of thanksgiving to him and we do it, it's done with the free will. That's not done because he makes us. You know, it tells us in Isaiah 1:19 that if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. When we go before the Lord and we serve him, it's one thing for us to be obedient but not have a willing heart. It's a different thing for us to have a willing heart but not be obedient with it. Well, Isaiah 1:19 states that if you have a willing and an obedient heart, you'll eat the good of the land. As we begin to talk about this, there's a teaching I gave previously, and if you haven't watched it, I invite you to go back and check it out after this video. It's called The Doorway to Knowing God. And in that teaching, I talk about some simple steps. I even give a little bit of my own testimony of how I came to know the Lord. And then I give some simple steps on how to grow your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to tell you that one of the best ways to grow your relationship with the Lord is actually through prayer, but specifically through this prayer. And what I will say more than just through this prayer, but it's actually more of cultivating a lifestyle of offering praise, thanksgiving, and worship to the Lord. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have raised our children on since they were, you know, old enough to start speaking is that they need to learn to be thankful for what they have instead of ungrateful for what they don't. When we are thankful for what we have, I will tell you that that is a key to success. Having a heart of gratitude is a key to success. In fact, I will tell you that one of the things that we found success with in life is that when those who are around us get blessed, I don't care if we're at a, you know, if we're eating at a restaurant and we're by the window and someone drives up in a brand new car, or if it's someone we know and they get blessed with a brand new car or a new home or raise up their job, we always express a heart of gratitude to the Father that he has blessed them with that opportunity. And I'm going to tell you that I see that as a pinnacle key to success. And I know I'm not teaching on success today, but if I were, I would tell you that developing a heart of gratitude or with the Lord, cultivating a lifestyle of praise, thanksgiving, and worship is a pinnacle key to success. And like I said, you have to have a willing and obedient heart. So it's not just about an obedient saying, oh, that's great, they've got that. But it's about cultivating genuine praise, thanksgiving, and worship. I want to get right into our teaching today, but before we do, I'm going to give you a couple foundational scriptures that we've already read to you, and these are scriptures that illustrate why you should be confident in your prayer walk with the Lord. I want you to turn to 1 John 5, and we're going to read verses 14 through 15, or you can follow us on the screen. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked before of him. Now, one of the things I'll tell you is it tells us that when we ask according to his will. Now, some people say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Then read the Bible. Some people may say, well, how do you know what God's will is? Read the Bible. God's will is expressed clearly within his Bible. Now, it may not be something that you cover the whole Bible from cover to cover within a week, but the more time you spend in his word, the more time you'll spend growing. If you are just starting to read the Bible and you haven't read it before, I recommend you start in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs in the Bible. That means one proverb or one chapter for every day of the month on a typical month or a 31-day month. I recommend that you start there, not that you stop there, but that you start there. And if you start reading the book of Proverbs, one proverb for every day, so if today, for example, is the 4th, then read Proverbs 4. If today's the 13th or the 20th, then read whatever day lines up in accordance with that. But what I will tell you is that it's important for you to start reading the word so you understand God's will. That being said, let's go on to our next scripture. Our next scripture that we have is actually going to be Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Praising God is a faith principle. In fact, I will tell you that once you pray for something, the act of praise, it's a grounding principle. In other words, it keeps us rooted and grounded in faith. When people ask sometimes, how do I operate in faith? Or how do I remain in faith? The key principle to remaining in faith or operating in faith is praise or giving thanksgiving, worshiping God, worshiping Him for what He's done. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. So in other words, don't be moved by your natural circumstances. Don't be moved by what you see or what you don't see. So many times people are so moved or easily moved by what they see, whether if it's or what they hear, whether if it's that report from the doctor or whether if it's that bill that's sitting in front of them or multiple bills sitting in front of them. Don't be moved by the circumstances. Other times they're moved by what they don't see. Maybe they're standing on the word for healing, but they haven't seen it manifest yet. Don't be moved by what you don't see. Operate in faith. Remember, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to go ahead and read you another scripture, and this scripture actually talks directly about the prayer of thanksgiving. This is out of Colossians 4:2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with it and thanksgiving. Now, as I was studying this scripture, the word vigilant really popped out to me. And as it popped out to me, I was before the Lord, and I was asking, you know, vigilant, you know, that seems like it has extra emphasis there. So he led me to go look up what vigilant means. The word vigilant actually means this. It means keenly watchful to detect danger or wary. It also means ever awake and alert, sleeplessly watchful. So ever awake and alert. If we go back and plug that into the scripture, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That means continue earnestly in prayer, being everly or ever watchful, awake and alert in it with thanksgiving. In other words, the way you stay alert or awake in it or vigilant is with thanksgiving. In other words, you're constantly keeping your eyes on what you prayed, staying in thanksgiving. Constantly watching what you've prayed, but with thanksgiving. In other words, you're not praying it over and over and over again. You pray it once, and then you thank Him. It's the prayer of thanksgiving. You are thanking Him continuously. I would tell you that this one prayer right here bookends every prayer you will ever say. Any prayer or any type of prayer you ever say should always be bookended with the prayer of thanksgiving, or what's referred to as the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. You should always be thanking Him continually with thanksgiving. That's how prayer comes about, is through thanksgiving. I want to go ahead and take you to another scripture, but one of the things I want to remind you again, and we said at the beginning of the video, that the power of this prayer is through free will, where this power of this prayer operates is through free will. Why? Because there are going to be times that maybe you don't feel like praising for it. There are going to be times that maybe you feel discouraged or down or you don't want to. But it's the power of free will where you're able to go before Him anyways because you love Him, because you trust Him, that you're able to praise Him. Let's go ahead and go into another scripture. This is going to be out of Psalms 22:4. It says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. Psalms 9:1 through 3 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. The act of praise means that even when the circumstances aren't right, we are praising God. Or at times it could be circumstances are just fine, but you're waiting on the answer to the prayer. You know, prayer is not always praying for it to have a material object surface within your life. It's not always praying for the new home. It's not always praying for the, you know, new job or praying for the new car. Sometimes it's praying for the healing, but other times it's praying for answers. Sometimes maybe you need a clear path or a clear understanding of what your next steps are in life. It tells us in the Word that God's commissioned our footsteps, but when we ask Him for wisdom, it tells us He will give us wisdom. But once we've asked for an answer, whatever that answer is, you're to bookend it with the prayer of thanksgiving, thanking the Lord. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging. I want to encourage you to swing by our website where you can find all of our teachings. If you haven't seen our other teachings, I invite you to get connected with them. We got bunches. We want to invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, we want to remind you to swing by our social media and connect with us. You can find us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. We want to invite you to connect with us. We stream all of our teachings at no cost 24 hours a day. And we invite you that if these teachings are ministering to you, then subscribe to our YouTube channel and share those teachings on your social media with your friends. There's a good chance that if these teachings are feeding you, they're going to feed your loved ones around you. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
All right. Any questions? Any clarity needed?
I think Angie is a great example of always thanking the Lord over and over and over and over again. You ask one time and you just keep on thanking Him, right?
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Angie.
You're welcome. Yep. It shows you got faith, too. Yep.
The Bible, the verses He gave out were 1 John 5:14-15.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5 and 7.
And
Colossians 5 and 7.
Colossians 4:2.
But didn't he say 2 Corinthians 5 and 7?
I didn't hear 5 and 7.
Philippians?
No.
I think that was
2
Corinthians
5. Oh, Philippians is 4:6.
Right, 4:6, correct.
He was just mentioning that. No, he was just mentioning it in passing. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And the last one was Psalms 22:4, right?
Yes. 22:4.
And Psalms
9:3,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
9:3. That was the last
one. Yeah. Yeah.
While he was talking, he mentioned some scriptures while he was talking, but they weren't the main ones that he was.
They
like,
weren't the main ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was Psalms 9-3.
Yes, 1-3. Because he was when he first started off, he mentioned Isaiah 1:19, but that wasn't one of the main ones. That was one of the first one he
right.
mentioned. Then he said 1 John 5:14-15.
Right. That was the main one.
Colossians 4:2, Psalms 22:4, and Psalms 9:1-3. But
didn't I hear Proverbs
or something? I thought I heard Proverbs in there somewhere. Well, he mentioned Proverbs in reference to reading the Bible. Proverbs was a good book to start reading because it has 31 chapters.
Right. Start there, but don't stay there.
Let me just share something. He mentioned something about free will, and a lot of the people in the world who call themselves Christians don't understand what that means. That means you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you a choice. He doesn't force you to serve Him. He doesn't force you to love Him. He doesn't force you to read His Word. He don't do any of that. He gives you choice.
Right.
And I want you to understand that when we talk about a lot of other things. Because when you're forced to do something, it's not in your heart often.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you were forced to do it. God wants your heart. God wants your heart, y'all. But this is so good. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I love what he said about, of course, when you pray, you go before the Father God. When you praise, worship, and give thanksgiving, He comes to you. I said, wow, you know. he paints the picture so really nicely that you can see that. Your habits, the praise of it, he comes to you. When you start praying, you go to him. But when you get into real praise and worship, you know, he comes to you.
Yes, and I believe in not just the olden days, but you hear, I know in the, when I was reading the book of the Azusa Street, when they talked about the glory clouds coming in, and if you ever been in a church where, you know, you everybody just sending up so much praises, you praise the Lord, then when he comes down, he brings the glory cloud. The place gets smoky.
That's right. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had that happen to us where there was a cloud in the sanctuary here.
And thank the Lord.
You know, we just thank God for that. How many minutes do you have, Pastor?
It's up. No.
Oh, okay. Because we can do one more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. You know, when we talk about the different types of prayers over the last week and over this week, we've been covering a mini-series where we've been covering nine main types of prayer that are covered in the Bible. In these prayers, our desire is to help you understand how to pray better. And the reason why is as we were before the Lord instructed us about helping people in his prayer. In fact, if you back up before that, we actually had dedicated our past several Fridays for several weeks now where we were teaching on the names of God. And the reason why the Lord had us do that is because he wanted us to focus on prayer time or the importance of prayer. So if that's important to God, it should be important to us. Sometimes you'll hear people say things like, well, all you can do now is pray, or you know what? Prayer is like your last resort. Well, I'm going to tell you that that's actually not the case. In fact, when you cultivate a healthy prayer walk, your prayer walk should be the first thing you go to at any time that you have a need or need an answer or desire, whatever it is. Any time that you have a situation that arises in your life that needs attention, prayer should be the first thing you do, not the last. Well, today we're going to be continuing our series, and today we're talking about the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. Now, what I will tell you about that is this particular type of prayer deals specifically with trust. Now, one of the things I'm sure you guys have caught on by now is that prayer is much like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is man or people try to compartmentalize how God works. In other words, they try to have these little boxes that they put God in. And when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating, they try to have this one little box that's operating at that time. And if another one operates, another little box is operating. Well, I'm going to tell you that that's not how God works. In fact, when the gifts of the Spirit move, oftentimes it's several gifts supporting each other. With prayer, it's much the same thing. Now, in our series, we've talked about that. The reason why most people sometimes, I should say most people, but the reason why people at times don't get their prayers answered is because they're not praying in the correct manner. In other words, there's specific rules to prayer that govern how we pray. But oftentimes when we're praying, several prayers will support each other. For example, if you're doing a prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, that may start with you casting your cares upon the Lord, but it may go into a prayer of petition and end with a prayer of thanksgiving. So sometimes there's multiple prayers that come together. Sometimes there's specific prayers you pray. But it's important to understand that when God operates in prayer, when he teaches you how to operate in prayer, I should say, sometimes it's not just one type of prayer operating, it's several operating together. And what's important is that when you pray, is not that, okay, I need to do the prayer of Thanksgiving Day, or, oh, I need to do a prayer of casting my cares upon the Lord Day. It's not like that. It's more of you understanding the types of prayer that are out there and the rules that govern them. Let's go ahead and jump right into Scripture, and I want to talk with you about the main verse that pops out when we talk about casting our cares upon the Lord. It's out of 1 Peter 5:7. If you have your Bibles, why don't you read with us? If not, you can follow on the screen. Let's read. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What I will tell you about that is casting your cares on the Lord, it literally translates as you getting your cares and throwing them onto God. In other words, it doesn't mean you just coming to him and subtly handing them to him. That's not what casting your cares means. Casting your cares is the act of aggressively grabbing whatever cares you have, whatever worries you have, whatever is weighing you down, whatever troubles you have, and getting those cares and aggressively throwing them onto him. Now, some people think, well, I don't want to hurt Jesus. You ain't going to hurt Jesus. He's telling you to throw them on him because he's got a net big enough to catch him.
Amen.
When you cast your cares on the Lord, it's aggressively throwing them onto him. I want to read you a couple more scriptures so that you start to understand why this is an important prayer. The next one we want to go to is out of Psalms 56:3. It says, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. When we talk about being afraid, most of the times when people need to go before the Lord with a prayer of casting their cares upon the Lord, it's because they're dealing with fear in some type of area. Fear about the bills, fear about school, fear about studying, fear about the test they got to take, fear over their job, fear whether or not if they're going to have a job, fear whether they're going to get the promotion, fear over their relationship, fear whether their marriage is failing, fear over whether they're going to get a divorce, fear over their children, whatever it is. And I'm not trying to speak fear in your life, but what I'm telling you is that usually what happens when a person's heart is weighed down is there's some type of fear that's trying to come upon them. You know, it's real easy to know when something's from the Lord. When something is from the Lord, even though our mind may not understand it, our heart should be filled with peace. In fact, it tells us in Philippians 4:7 that the peace that transcends or surpasses all...
Sorry about that. Someone's trying to call me.
Be upon us. In other words, sometimes your mind, the logic of your mind, it may not make any sense, but there's a spirit of peace inside you that comforts you. At other times, though, it may make sense in your mind, and it seems like it's the right thing to do, but inside you're in turmoil. You're burdened, and you're heavy. And in those particular cases, that's the Holy Spirit telling you that's not his best for you. No matter how good that situation looks, no matter how good that thing sounds, it is not the Lord's best for you. I'm going to read you one more scripture, and then we're going to go into the prayer, how to pray this prayer. The next one's out of Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. When we talk about the prayer of casting our cares upon the Lord, this is something that we can couple with the prayer of petition. In fact, I can think of a time a while back, a few years ago, where I was going through a very difficult situation. I was working full-time at a certain environment, and it seemed like things were very uncomfortable in that environment. They were trying to make some changes within that environment. And even though I had been honoring my employer and doing well, things were just unsettling and uncertain in that time. And I was heavy with it, and fear was trying to come on me day and night. In fact, you know, it felt like at times when I would go to bed that when I lay down and got quiet, the noise tried to get so loud. So I went before the Lord and I prayed, and I remembered the prayer of petition. And so what I did is I went before the Lord, and in an open prayer, I consecrated myself to him in a prayer of consecration, and then I turned around and I opened in a prayer of casting my cares upon the Lord, and I brought to him those weights that were on my heart. I made it known to him, and then I drew out a prayer of petition where I wrote step by step, accompanied with his promises and the word, the things that I was concerned about, and that I needed freedom from. I put specifically on there how I wanted him to answer, and I put his promises on there to support and back that up. I want to let you know that that entire situation reversed itself. In fact, it reversed itself so strong, I don't have time to go into all of it, but it completely did a 180 from the way it was at to where it was actually a blessing afterwards. And I'm just going to tell you that when you're heavy with something, all you have to do is bring those burdens to the Lord. The way you do a prayer, casting your cares upon the Lord, there's nothing elaborate to it. It simply means you coming to God in full surrender, surrendering whatever weight or heaviness is on your heart or on your mind, and giving it over to him. And how do we give it over to him? Casting your cares doesn't mean just putting it up to him. It means grabbing those cares and tossing them on him. In other words, you're grabbing those cares and you're aggressively throwing them on him, because he's able to take it for you. And then once you do, you don't go back and look to see what he did with it. The moment you get it and cast it on him, that thing is gone. And no matter what your circumstances around you tell you, you stand sure knowing in the Word of God that He's quick to perform His Word, that He has your best in mind, and that He's already resolved that situation. And then what do? You stay in a prayer of thanksgiving and continual thanks, thanking Him for the solution to that outcome that you need, thanking Him that He's freed you, that He saved you from that situation. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our teachings that we post on there. They're all available to be able to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on our social media, either on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are meaning something to you, then help us get the word out. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to share these teachings out with your friends and coworkers and families. You'll be surprised. Sometimes simply by sharing it out to your Facebook page or your social media, someone might click on it that you don't even know they're clicking on it, but you get credit for that because you're sharing the Word of God. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
All right. Any questions?
Yeah.
811,
Bill.
Anybody have any questions, comments?
I understand better. I understand better why it says be anxious for nothing. This is the only way you can do it, by casting your care on the Lord, because Satan would love to have you worry and steal your peace and steal your joy over any issue that's on earth. But God has said, put it in the spiritual realm. Put it in my hands and don't take it back. And
that's
then you
right.
go away, la, 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 down the street, because you have peace knowing God's got this thing.
That's
and
right.
And you have victory
that's
on
right.
the other side of it. You don't give Satan an inch.
And I thank the most key thing to it is putting the thanksgiving on it. After pray, you go and don't worry about it. And then the key thing is that you are continuously thanking God for what He has done.
Amen.
And one of the greatest keys of all of this is to understand, you got to say this out loud. You got to speak it out loud. Spirituality is when you have something in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth. That initiates spiritual reality. You know, just don't think it in your mind. In your mind. You have to speak it out of your mouth. Creation happened because God spoke. God said. You were made in His image. Things will change. Things will happen in your life or won't happen, depending on your prayer, when you say it out loud. That's so important. People forget that. The Word of God was actually written to be spoken out loud, to be read out loud, not to be read in my mind. You know, and all
right.
that. I mean, you can do that. That's okay. But you don't stop there. So all that we've been sharing for these last two weeks about prayers, you speak it out loud.
Amen.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
That's the tongue.
If you don't say nothing, there won't be nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
I do believe to send out our ministering angels and our war angels, we have to speak it into being, because it's out in the atmosphere. And you've taught us to say the word, when we read the Word of God, to say it. But I've learned another hierarchy. If you sing the Word of God to Him, that's a hierarchy on that one.
Because the Word of God says to bring, He says to bring it into remembrance of me. So how are we going to do it if we don't speak it out of our mouth?
Amen.
If we don't give Him right back what He gave us.
He has to honor His word.
I thought it was significant when He talks about the only time He said, if it's your will, is when you're dealing with prayer, dedication, and consecration. Because if you're dealing with a promise of God, you have to ask if it's His will. He said, He promised it. Right here.
Yeah.
No, he said he promised healing. A lot of us try to be so religious that we become non-spiritual.
And you can always say
it sounds religious, but it ain't spiritual to always say, it's your will.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the promise of God, we know it's his will because it was a promise. But the prayer of dedication and consecration, that's the one. It's your will. The other prayers, you know it's going to be his will because he promised it. So you speak, you step out in faith, believe in what he said. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else?
And you can say, God, you say it, and then repeat what he said. He got
Amen.
To show up.
Repeat what he said. God, you said. And Isaiah 43:26, bring him into remembrance. God, you said.
Amen.
Like I tell people often, I didn't write it. I came too late to change it. God, you said.
Amen. Sister Peaches, the scriptures that were given was it 1 Peter 5 and 7?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And
Psalm 3. And Proverbs 3:5. And then over on the side, he mentioned Philippians 4:7. Those are the sidebar.
Yeah.
They were three scriptures that he gave.
I like the way he stands on the word of God. How can you argue with the word of God? Because I'm short the box of God. You know, what can I say?
And I think we have done things in the past ignorantly, but when you find out the right way to do something, that's when you have to drop the way you used to do something. Because if you keep on doing what you always done, you'll always get what you've always got.
Mm-hmm. When you know better, you do better. Amen. When you know better, you do better.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of times we have done things in the past because we've seen it done like that. But even when it didn't bring results, we were doing it because that's what we saw. But then when God opens up the word of God and shows us, hey, this is how you do that, this is how you do it, then we have to drop the old way and follow the proper way that he's shown us. A lot of times when we call ourselves casting our cares over the Lord, and I always say, well, leaving it at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we walk away from the altar, we find ourselves mentioning it. And right when you find yourself mentioning it, nope, I've already given it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Nope, I'm not going to worry about it. Every time it comes back to mind,
mm-hmm.
I turn it to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for answered prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, even when I don't see it. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for answered prayer. I thank you, God, because I know just what you're doing, even when I don't see it. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's showing God's faith that we have confidence in his prayers, in the prayers that we have prayed to him, because we know that he has heard us.
Yes,
keep on thanking us.
And we can repent for past ignorances, not knowing, and now that we know better, because we're about making the world thirsty for what we have. And the better we sharpen our tools and the better we represent Christ, the more they will understand that we're about a righteous thing and a right thing with decency and order. And we represent Christ on a higher level. The better we make Christ look, the better we look to them. And we just shine
right back
in Jesus. We're a mirror of him.
That's right. And it's going to draw them unto him.
Mm-hmm. You know, God is increasing our understanding and our wisdom. He's maturing us in the faith.
Yes.
Y'all can see it yourself. You can almost feel it. It's almost palpable. You can feel it in the atmosphere that we're growing.
Amen.
And when you can feel yourself growing, and God, you know you're on the right track.
Thank you.
So when you say things, or even thinking things that you didn't think before, you know, positive stuff, thinking, you know, you're learning stuff. I mean, you know, that you didn't think five years ago and 10 years ago and even five months ago, you're learning new stuff. That's growth in God. That's spiritual maturity. And guess what? He ain't brought you this far to leave you, y'all. He wants to take
you. Amen.
He wants to take us higher. Okay, one day we look in the mirror and we don't see ourselves, we see Christ. Wow, man.
That's Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. That's real deep. Hallelujah.
I'm realizing the more we read the word and give addresses, we meditate on it, it gives us an inner growth in our Noah, where we can speak the word with confidence. It makes us feel like we are definitely got hold of something great here, and you want to take, you want to protect it at all costs.
Amen.
So each day you want to get more. It makes you hungrier and hungrier. So to me, I got to use my word, y'all. It get gooder and gooder.
But you know what? That word is confidence. See, the more you know about God, the more words you know, the more you get taught, the more you receive with that coachable, teachable spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Go with God. The more confidence you get in Him. So, it's like a faith extender itself. Your knowledge of God is a faith extender. My goodness. A lot of people think faith means it's a big faith. It means long-lasting faith. It's like a Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, cortisol, and pleasant tasting, long-lasting, green and purple pill. It's long-lasting. Faith, you got to do it. Hallelujah. And the longer, you use it, the stronger it becomes.
Because we are fulfillment center,
right?
Amen. Praise the Lord. He pours into us and we pour into others. He blesses us and we bless others. Hallelujah. It's contagious.
It is. And that makes you talking about boldness. That puts boldness in your bones. That strengthens your bones. Sister Angie, that strengthens your bones. That gives you confidence that you know who you in whom you believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you done read the word. Hallelujah. You done studied the word. My goodness.
Amen.
Thank you.
We can actually step back and say, Satan, how you like me now?
No. You get bigger and bigger and say that. He used to look down on you. Now he got to look up at you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How y'all like Gil Reyes?
That man is off the chain. Where you been all my life?
Yes,
Hallelujah.
That are really amazing.
Praise the Lord.
And I thank God for him. One of my children's godmothers, Francis Lewis, several years ago introduced me to Neil Reyes. And I've been hooked on him ever since. I tell you, hooked on
him.
He breaks it down.
He does.
From 8 to 12 to maybe 15 minutes of teaching. Some folks that teach for 2 hours, and they don't give as much as he gives you in 8, 10, 12 minutes, 15 minutes.
He is a hit-and-run sermon.
You know, one of the gifts Jesus gave to the church was the teacher. And we love Sunday school teachers, but see, this kind of teacher is above that. It has a special anointing to break it down just where we live.
He does a home run every time. Amen. He does a home run.
You know?
Yes, he does. He hits a home run every time he teaches.
Yeah.
He simplifies it all.
Yeah. So we thank God for so far. Next week we'll be dealing with, United or corporate prayer, intercessory prayer, and then if we can get it off, our praying in the spirit, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be all good.
Yes.
And we thank God for y'all to join in with us. And yes. We pray for you. In fact, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord,
thank you, God, for
our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Neil Reyes, oh God. We ask that you would bless him and his entire family and ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody who took time to be on the call, whether they came late, early, or somewhere in between. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing them and their family and others. We pray for the people, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you've done and what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. And again, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And we bless your name. And we thank you for the harvest on the seed sown, 3,600 fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessings. And we honor your name and bless your name in Jesus' name. on today.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
And the best is yet to come. Hallelujah.
Love you all. Have a blessed night. Hallelujah.